For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. As a society, we do a pretty good job on prenatal care and well baby checkups once a baby is born. But what about the mothers? What do we do for them once the baby is born? My guest today is going to talk about how the United States lags far behind other industrialized nations in taking care of mothers. My guest today is reporter Nina Martin of ProPublica, who has recently published a series of articles along with National Public Radio about what is in essence a state needing repair in postpartum care for mothers who've recently given birth. Thank you again for talking with me. And I know you did a series recently as a joint effort, I believe, between ProPublica and National Public Radio, looking at peripartum morbidity, meaning illness, and mortality, meaning death. And can you tell me a little bit about what first got you interested in that subject and then what you found?
First of all, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I am a reporter covering sex and gender issues for ProPublica. And so I cover a lot of issues around women's health. Turns out to be a big part of my beat. And a few years ago, back in about 2010, there was a report that was issued by Amnesty International noting that the U.S. Had a really surprisingly high and growing rate of maternal mortality compared to other industrialized countries. And that was really a big eye-opener for a lot of people in the public health world and the medical profession in the U.S. But there was very little reporting that was done out of that big report, and sort of stories about the report, but no stories kind of trying to figure out more deeply what was going on. And so that report was really intriguing to me. And a couple years ago, I started looking into maternal health issues. I was looking for a project, and I came across, you know, that report. I came across CDC data about the number of maternal deaths, but really I was struck by the high rate of what they call sometimes near misses, severe maternal morbidity. More than 50,000 women a year in the U.S. Suffer life-threatening complications from childbirth, and somewhere between 700 and 900 women die every year from childbirth. And those numbers are, you know, much higher than in other, the rates, I should say, are much higher than in other developed countries, and sort of contrary to what most people think is going on in the U.S., and also contrary to what I had heard. And I had a special attachment to the issue because my sister nearly died in childbirth from postpartum complications, actually, in 2000 in Texas. And at the time, she was told, you know, pretty much, well, this never happens. You're the only person that this has ever happened to. It's incredibly rare. And then it turns out, you know, more than 50,000 women a year nearly die in the U.S. from the similar kinds of complications. And so that just was struck a lot of chords, and off we were.
And what type of reasons did you uncover for this type of really surprising increase in the number for a developed nation like the United States versus other industrialized nations?
Well, one of them has to do with sort of mothers themselves. And so this is what a lot of people in the medical profession have always sort of said. Mothers are getting older. They're getting heavier. They come into pregnancy with more chronic conditions that are more that make pregnancy more complicated and more dangerous. Of course, the U.S. also has terrible access to health care before pregnancy and after pregnancy for many women, especially women in the South, women who live in states that didn't take the Medicaid expansion. So not only are women coming into pregnancy with more chronic conditions, obesity is another big one, they don't get preventive care and they don't get very good follow-up care. And so those are, you know, access to care, really important issue. But what we learned in addition to that, that the medical system basically over time really started to take the health of moms almost a little bit for granted, I want to say. You know, the maternal deaths used to be much more common than they are now. So over time, the medical system, the healthcare system brought down the number of maternal deaths. And to the point where a lot of providers just kind of said, okay, mission accomplished, we're done here. And so they basically did not recognize that, in fact, hundreds of women continue to die every year in the U.S., and that those deaths have really huge repercussions throughout families and communities. And so because they thought maternal deaths were kind of rare, they stopped paying attention to them. And one of the things that happened is that a lot of practices and a lot of hospitals, a lot of medical providers, basically, they don't have in place the kinds of protocols and guidelines in place, standards in place to treat obstetric emergencies. So when they do, when the rare thing does happen, very often providers don't recognize it in time. They delay, they deny until it becomes to a really dangerous point. And then they often don't really even know what they're supposed to do. And then the other thing that we discovered, I think it's really important to the overall conversation, is that the medical system has really come over time, you know, to kind of put more focus on the sort of the health and the safety of the baby and the fetus than of the mom. The assumption was, well, moms are basically fine. They give birth all the time. It's a natural process. They get basically, they come out of it fine. It's the babies we have to really worry about. And while it's true that childbirth is a lot more dangerous for babies than it is for mothers, childbirth is actually, and pregnancy, and especially the postpartum period, can be really times of great vulnerability for mothers in general, and particularly for mothers, low-income women, and women of color, black moms.
My guest today is ProPublica reporter Nina Martin, who has been working on a series along with NPR, National Public Radio, regarding maternal mortality and morbidity or illness, as well as some new guidelines of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists addressing postpartum care. I think one of the things that made my jaw drop, that data point that you brought up in your reporting, is essentially comparing the postpartum visits for baby versus the postpartum visits for mom in our society.
Yeah. So our postpartum care in this country is really shocking and outrage, and it should be a scandal. It's a really good example of how we prioritize, or at least have a greater focus on the health of and safety of babies over that of moms. The baby typically sees a pediatrician just within a few days, maybe even just within a day of being born. You go home from the hospital, assuming you birth in a hospital, you're back, the baby's back at the pediatrician within a couple days. You know, there's a lot of visits over that first 6-week period. Whereas in many parts of the country, women, moms, don't get their first postpartum checkup, their post-birth checkup, until 4 to 6 weeks after they give birth. And their insurance often only covers one visit, a single visit, in the postpartum period.
Can the argument be made to those insurance carriers, based upon the reporting that you've done, that even talking in terms they would understand, it would be cost effective for them to pay for these earlier postpartum visits in order to prevent mortality and morbidity?
Yes, in short. It's just something I think that a lot of systems, haven't really thought about, because honestly, what we've heard from doctors over and over again, and nurses and moms, is, you know, the mom is basically, she gives birth and then it's as if she's kind of just disappeared from the radar of everybody. And so part of the problem is that there hasn't been any focus. You know, there has not been nearly enough focus, I should say, journalistically and medically and sort of culturally, to what happens to women after they give birth. And so I think it hasn't been so much on the radar of insurance companies either. One of the problems is that the way we pay for medical care for women in this country is a global payment that typically includes prenatal delivery and then the postpartum visit. And so it's all one lump sum, basically. And then there are other additional payments, but basically prenatal and postpartum are lumped into this one payment. And so there's no incentive for doctors to see women more frequently. There's no incentive for doctors to see women earlier, because one of the things we know is that because the typical visit might not happen until 6 weeks, a lot of women are back to work at that point. A lot of women are fine. They don't see any reason to go back to the doctor. So that woman never shows up to her visit, which, you know, if you're a doctor who's not getting paid for that visit, or who doesn't feel like you're getting paid for that visit, is kind of maybe okay. And one of the problems with changing how we do postpartum care in this country is really going to have to be trying to retraining doctors and nurses as well as insurers about how we think about the payment structure in this period. One of the things that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in their recent committee opinion on postpartum care, sort of redesigning postpartum care, one of the things that they recommend is that women who've had complicated pregnancies basically go back to the doctor right away. And right. Any woman, no later than 3 weeks. But if you have women come to the doctor for their visit at 3 weeks, a lot more women are going to come. And that means that a lot of doctors are going to feel like they're not getting paid to see that woman.
And hence the metaphor that I saw in your reporting that one person used, that mom was considered the wrapper and the baby is the true candy, or at least that's how that dyad gets treated in our culture.
Absolutely. And that was Dr. Allison Stubbe, who's an expert in postpartum care. I think she's at the University of North Carolina and one of the authors of the new postpartum guidelines from ACOG, as that group is known. Yes, you know, and she says the baby is the candy, the mom is the wrapper, and once the baby's delivered, the wrapper gets tossed aside. And that is, in fact, I've heard variations of that metaphor from almost everyone I've spoken to in the reporting that we've done over the last couple of years.
My guest today is ProPublica reporter Nina Martin, who has been working on a series along with NPR, National Public Radio, regarding maternal mortality and morbidity or illness, as well as some new guidelines of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists addressing postpartum care. Well, Nina, is there anything that we've not touched upon that you would want our listeners to know about that came up during this reporting?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, I just said in passing, women who are African-American moms are at much greater risk for maternal harm, death, and severe complications than white women. And so I think that it's really important that African-American women understand that their risks are higher and that their families and advocates understand that their risks are higher and really think about those risks and understand them, do some research in them so that they can advocate for themselves in a system that we know, you know, has many built-in forms of explicit and implicit bias. So that's one issue. I think another one is that there are these new guidelines, which I've mentioned, that ACOG, this organization of obstetricians and gynecologists in the country, has just released. And it's this grand vision to redesign postpartum care, as they say. And the kinds of things that they suggest are really important and could really make a big difference for women. So seeing doctors earlier and more frequently, especially if they have complicated pregnancies, having their care tailored to their own needs as opposed to some template that, you know, is often how it's done at the moment. And then making sure that they have a postpartum care plan in place before they give birth. A lot of women know to think about a birth plan as something that they, you know, that will to sort of design or write out about how they want their actual delivery to go. Maybe they don't want to have a C-section. Maybe they only want to use certain kinds of medication. Maybe they don't want certain people to be in the delivery room with them. But they forget that that's just a moment in time.
Right.
Postpartum period, it's really important to have a plan in place as well. So all of those things are part of the new guidelines. The guidelines are going to take a while to go into effect. But I want to say that no woman has to wait for those guidelines to go into effect. We know what ACOG has now recommended, and any woman should feel empowered and then insist that her own OBGYN see her more frequently if necessary, see her earlier than the 4 to 6 weeks, help her develop a postpartum plan, help her understand what her risks are. And you don't have to wait for some outside medical providers to put those plans into place. You can be assertive and advocate for yourselves.
My thanks today to Nina Martin, reporter for ProPublica, who has been working on maternal mortality and morbidity and discussing the new guidelines of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology in taking care of mothers who've recently given birth. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at WUKY.org.